Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So page 32. If one is not interested in satisfying Lord Vishnu, Vasudeva, all his so-called auspicious activities are fruitless. Mogasha, moga karamano, mogha jnana, vicheshtasaha. Bhagavad Gita 9:12. Because he is bewildered, he is baffled in his hopes. Baffled in his activities and baffled in his knowledge. In this regard, Srila Vishnu, so that means in Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, so that means in everything. Right? In this regard, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur remarks, Napum sa kamana, kamana, pumsak kenet yadi nai katvam. One cannot equate the potent and the impotent. Among modern Mayavadis, it has become fashionable to say whatever one does or whatever path one follows is all right. But these are all foolish statements. Here it is forcefully affirmed that this is the only method for success in life. Unless Lord Vishnu is satisfied, all of one's pious activities, ritualistic ceremonies and yajnas are simply for show and have no value. Right? Because when we say for show, it doesn't mean that they don't get the particular purpose they're getting on the material platform. But what it means is that's all you get. And being that it's temporary, the soul gets nothing. So since we're talking about self-realization, what I mean is you're going to get no benefit on that platform. Materially, yes, you'll get something, but spiritually, you'll get nothing. Like that, yeah.
So is this furtive just from the point of view of me, or is this also included with the common Mishra? Is it just any aspect of furtive, whether it's connected to Krishna or not?
No, karma Mishra means it's connected to Krishna.
So the bafflement is only that degree that you've not connected
it? Yes, yes. But for the devotees, that bafflement would be minimal. But it doesn't mean that there's not something, because we're maintaining material desire, so that material desire will give us trouble. You know what I'm saying?
When we say Krishna's desire, like many times we'll have a situation and someone will say, oh, we hope you have this, and then we'll turn around and say, oh yeah, Krishna desires. Now that may be our false humility saying, oh, if Krishna desires, but we actually want that situation to continue. So how do we...
That's there, but the point is that results are up to Krishna, they're not up to us. We can perform the activity, but what result we'll get, because see, is that you're applying action. We're just looking at the skill. We have the knowledge, we have the skill, we're applying that skill, then we should get this particular result. Right? So, but what's not being factored into it is what is our mentality? Actually, how good is our skill? You know, because generally how we think, what we think it is and what it actually is may not actually match. What is our previous understandings and applications in the past? What have we done with those results? You know, it's just like, okay, the child is given an allowance, he uses it for something stupid, so next week he's expecting, but he doesn't get an allowance. Right? You know what I'm saying? Because there's bigger pictures that there. So that's why we depend upon the Supreme for the result. like that. We make our endeavor in knowledge and in our effort. Of course, that's dependent upon the Supreme, but we can put in the effort. But that result, it's not that we can do something about that effort. You know, does that make sense? We can't do that. That's beyond. Just like one can make the endeavor oneself and elevate, I mean, it's by Krishna's grace, but it's through one's endeavor that one is elevating oneself from the, you know, to the Kanista, to the Madhyama platform, to get from Madhyama to Uttama, that's only by Krishna's grace. So that's all dependent on the attitude, not on what you're doing. So in other words, the higher level it goes, it's about the attitude. Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. So at first you're getting the skill because the skill is what you're going to express the attitude through, but it's actually about the attitude.
So basically, it's a shift in dependence. Ultimately, that dependence is a shift.
Yes, because if we're thinking I'm the doer, then it will be a problem. So, yeah. Unfortunately, foolish people do not know the secret of success. They do not know that real self-interest ends in pleasing Lord Vishnu. Yeah. Because we say self-realization, that means serving Vishnu. So we don't have to say, trying to understand myself by worshipping Vishnu and this way understand myself in relationship to Vishnu. You just say self-realization. Because actually the self means Atma. Right? The real self is Krishna. And we're part and parcel of the self, so we become included in self-realization. Yeah. And it's just like, yeah. Just like you say, make toast. So it's just about the bread? You understand? It includes the toaster. Right? And of the two, the toaster is the one that is the dynamic one. Right? So the same way, we say self-realization. So we're just part of that process. Sri Kasyapa Muni concluded, "Therefore, my dear gentle lady, follow this ritualistic vow, strictly observing the regulative principles. By this process, the Supreme Person will very soon be pleased with you and will satisfy all your desires." 62. Conclusion. One who trains his subordinate or disciple to worship Vasudeva is the truly bona fide spiritual master. Right, so the whole point is when it's about Vishnu, then that's actually the position. So someone who trains you in that, then that's bona fide. That's the bona fide thing. That's why the position is as you've heard it, you give it. Right? That's probably gives the example of the postman. He gets an envelope, and as it is, he delivers it. He doesn't open it and take something out, put something in. You know, he doesn't do that. You know, open it up, put a few sparkles inside. You know, he doesn't do that stuff. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, that's bona fide. Okay, because any method other than devotional service is useless. No other process can actually give any benefit. They may give varieties of results within the mundane. They may elevate, means through these processes you can get yourself to any one of the 14 planetary systems. Like this. But, that's all you'll get. And then it'll be gone again. So it appears that it's something very great, something very big. But in actuality, it's not. That's the point. It's because for the soul is eternal, looking for eternal happiness. All these positions are going to be temporary. So that's why we're saying it's useless. Right? So it may be useful for something, but is it useless for what its actual purpose is? Right? So, in self-realization, it's to bring you to that platform of understanding your position, who you are, who the Lord is, what's your relationship. So, if it's not doing that, then it's useless. That's the whole point. Okay. Sometimes less intelligent men ask whether one has to approach a guru to be instructed in devotional service for spiritual advancement. You know, why can't you just do it on your own? We're intelligent, we just use our intellect, and by that process, then we can, realize, understand. Aditi accepted her husband as guru so that he would direct her how to advance in spiritual consciousness, devotional service by worshiping the Supreme Lord. So the point is that since it's the Lord, connection to the Lord, that makes it profitable. And it's by connection to the Lord that it's his involvement that actually gives the results. That means it's his process, so his rules. So unless you accept someone as a representative of him, and in that way try to apply yourself, then the process doesn't work. Because we can say, no, I'll do it on my own, but then the point is, you do it on your own, then why don't you do everything on your own? Since it's dependent upon the Supreme, then he makes this point, no, there's the spiritual master, he's the via media, through him you go. Why? Because the point is to come to a relationship, and in relationships, we're always going through someone. Right? That's the whole point. Is that something so? So, that's what we're getting used to. Because we're thinking, I'm God, then we have to figure out that someone else is God, then we have to figure out that my relationship with God is through someone else. So it's a slow process. Kashyapa Muni saw that his wife, Aditi, had some material desires for the welfare of her sons, but still he advised her to render devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, everyone, regardless of whether he is a karmic, jnani, yogi, or bhakta, should invariably take shelter of the lotus feet of Vasudeva and render transcendental loving service unto him, so that all his desires will be duly fulfilled. So that's the continuation of the same point, is that it's about it's about connection with the Lord. That's what makes it perfect. So it doesn't matter what your position is, because then the question, like yesterday came up a few times, is that he's describing approaching Vishnu, worshipping Vishnu and all that, but he's known, as an impersonalist. So how could that be? Because he's an impersonalist who's approaching the Lord for the benefit. So in other words, he's the smartest of those, that group. So connecting to the Lord, that's the only way you'll get your results. Thus, Kashyapa Muni was an ideal spiritual master. He was not so foolish that he would present himself as an exalted personality, as good as God. Kashyapa Muni did not falsely declare himself to be Jagat Guru, although he actually was Jagat Guru, because he had advocated the cause of Vasudeva. But when one who does not teach this instruction, as it is, declares himself Jagat Guru, he simply cheats the public. Upanaya. It's also one of the things is when one means you have I'm the controller and enjoyer, right? So that's the gross form of it, right? Even though that's the subtlest of all, the Karana Sharir. But of that, there's a subtler form where I think I am advanced, I am a guru of devotees. Right? It's the same thing, right? I'm advanced, I'm the controller, I'm the guru of devotees, I'm the enjoyer. Right? So that's the subtlest. So if that maintains, then you'll get to the spiritual world. You'll get into the spiritual world in your spiritual form, but you won't get into the pastimes. Does that make sense? Just like the yogic Brahmins, are they in the Lord's pastimes? Right? Technically, no. Means they're in the Dham, they're part of the scene, but are they interacting with Krishna? No. So that's what it means. You can be stuck in that position, Haridas Thakur says, for hundreds of lifetimes. So that's why we try that, being humble and being tolerant, that's where we start in the etiquette. Because if you don't work it out now, you can get stuck on that side.
So that's not an eternal position, being like that.
No. I'm just saying.
So you can go to the spiritual, be part of that, and yes, only stay for a certain time and then have to come back.
No, you don't come back. You just keep taking birth in Braj, that's all, and never getting anywhere. Right? So that's what we're saying, is that that's why being humble, being tolerant, all these, being respectful, this is the essential points of the behavior. Otherwise, you can get stuck. So that's just as a side point, because we're just pointing out is that, declare that I'm a guru, I'm this, I'm that. So if it becomes an identity that I'm a guru and all that, then it's a problem. Does that make sense?
Could you expand on that? last point. Again, this concept of idealism. So we see, you were making that point earlier about, like yesterday, questions are coming up about Kashyapa's position, but yet we see his process as ideal. So how are we making sure that we're not confusing anything? Because many times we'll say, oh, this is ideal, or this is ideal. But
we go by what the acharyas say. So in this condition that he was giving the process of worship of Vishnu as the actual solution to a problem, and that he was giving it as he had heard it from Lord Brahma, in other words, in Parampara, that's ideal. That's the ideal aspect. See, we're used to something's perfect or it's useless. Right? It's perfect because it's just the way I want it. It's useless because there's some fault. But we have to adjust that because that means it's in connection with us. I like it, I don't like it. So I like it, it's perfect. I don't like it, it's useless. But what we have to do is shift from Krishna likes it, it's perfect. Krishna doesn't like it, that's useless. Does that make sense? That's what we're having to do. So it's the same thing. We're just not used to it. Because then, oh, but it's so confusing, it's so this. Yes, because we're not the center. That's why it's confusing. We're used to being the center of everything since time immemorial. So if we're not, then that's the confusing. Oh, there's so much. There's not. It's very simple. Is it connected to Krishna or not? Is it for pleasing Krishna or not? Is it recommended by the scriptures? Is it recommended by the acharyas? That's all. Is that? Therefore, Krishna's Jagat Guru, and one who teaches the instruction of Krishna as it is on behalf of Krishna, may be accepted as Jagat Guru. So that's the conclusion. So Krishna's Guru, so therefore he has a representative, in this case Kashyapa Muni. Well, it's Brahma and then down to Kashyapa Muni, so it's in the Parampara. Does that make sense? Teaching on behalf of Krishna, then that means it's about him as a person. So that's Shakya. Yeah. Chapter 17. The Supreme Lord agrees to become Aditi's son. Pratigya. When a person is favored by Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, no one can defeat him. Because even the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not interfere when one is protected by a Brahmana. Right? So one would say, how can that be? Because if you're protected by a Brahmana, you've pleased a Brahmana, Krishna doesn't get involved. It's because the principle is you have to serve the Brahmins, right? That has to be done. So we see in the case of Bali Maharaj, he's serving the Brahmins, bona fide Brahmins, and they're pleased. They're not Vaishnavs, but they're Brahmins. Right? So therefore, even though he's got their blessings, they've given him the blessings to conquer the heavenly planets. But the point is that even though demons aren't supposed to be running the heavenly planets because they've got the blessings of the Brahmins for that, he lets it run. So we cannot underestimate the power of the blessing of the Brahmins. That was the whole point that the Chittaratha made to Arjuna, is that you're Kshatriyas, where's your Brahmin? Like, who are you following? You're supposed to follow Brahmins, where's your Brahmin? Right, because if they're walking towards the Ganga, he sees a Brahmin. Brahmin's walking, he has nothing to say. But he just sees Kshatriyas walking. And he, so it's not proper. So, it is said, Go Brahmanna Hitaya Cha. The Lord's first inclination is to give all benedictions to the cows and Brahmins. Because of the Brahminical culture, so therefore the Brahmins, it's the culture they practice, and then cows are necessary. So these two go together. Right, so just as we could complain about, there's sometimes a complaint comes up about the cows, but okay, the cows aren't in the ideal situation. They're producing milk that's valuable in the use, but the cows aren't in the ideal situation. So we can say we reject that, okay. But then we also have to look at the position, who are the people who are acting as Brahmins? Are they in the ideal position? When you take antyajas, make them into Brahmins, you know, what's the difference between that and the cows aren't in the ideal situation? Neither's ideal, but the point is the conclusion is it comes up to being engaged in Krishna service. So the Antyajas are practicing Brahminical culture, though not necessarily doing a great job of it, but trying to do that for Krishna. So the cows are doing their best, and then that's engaged. So that combination then works. So in there are better situations in which the ideal Brahminical character, culture, practices are there, and the cows, their situation. That's what you want trying to get to. But the point is this Brahminical culture and cows are so important, it doesn't matter the situation, they're still engaged. Does that make sense? That's important to understand, because it's about Krishna, it's about the Brahminical culture. It's not about pranamoy. Right? Because that's what we do. Oh, he's not a Brahmin. He did this. The Pujari did that. Oh, he's not a Brahmin. Because if you do that, you can't be a Brahmin. No, he is a Brahmin. You understand? So it's the same mundane political approach. So the point is it's important. Therefore, it's applied. Okay. Therefore, if Brahmanas favor someone, the Lord does not interfere, nor can anyone interfere with the happiness of such a person. That's the conclusion. Adhyaya Prakashika. As explained in this chapter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being very pleased by the Payavrata ceremony performed by Aditi, appeared before her in full opulence. At her request, the Lord agreed to become her son. After Aditi performed the Payavrata ceremony for 12 continuous days, the Lord, who was certainly very pleased with her, appeared before her with four hands and dressed in yellow garments. As soon as Aditi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead present before her, she immediately got up, and with great ecstatic love for the Lord, she fell to the ground to offer respectful obeisances. Aditi's throat was choked because of ecstatic feelings, and her entire body trembled with devotion. Although she wanted to offer suitable prayers to the Lord, she could not do anything, and thus she remained silent for some time. Then, feeling solace, observing the beauty of the Lord, she offered her prayers. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul of all living entities, was very pleased with her, and he agreed to become her son by incarnating as a plenary expansion. He was already pleased by Kasyapa Muni's austerities, and thus he agreed to become their son and maintain the demigods. Right? So he was a very good Brahmin, and she had, you know, she was a good disciple and a good devotee. So that combination, then it worked out very nicely. And thus he agreed to become their son and maintain the demigods. After giving his word of honor to this effect, the Lord disappeared. Following the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Aditi engaged in the service of Kasyapa Muni, who could see by samadhi that the Lord was within him, and who thus placed the semen in the womb of Aditi. Lord Brahma, who is known as Hiranyagarbha, understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had entered Aditi's womb. Thus he offered prayers to the Lord. So the Lord gave his word of honor. So in the Brahminical culture, word is very important. Right? So it's not just, means you can't just only act on the social platform. Social platform's important, you know, for interaction. But it also has to be, is what you have to be saying, what is something that can be attempted for and accomplished. Now, you don't just say things that sound good. You understand? Yes.
Marsh, what about, you know, devotees giving, you know, promises, you know, to brahmanas or other devotees and don't keep their words? Is there any reaction?
Depends upon what it means. Are they just saying it just because it sounds great? Or are they saying it they would like to do that, but situations change that they can't? You'd have to see. In other words, using it just as the social, that's not so good.
Let's say the moment they have, you know, all the facilities, they could do it. But
yeah.
Then the situation changes, but they don't, you know, apply any effort into, you know, promise, to keep the promise. So then,
means there should be some effort in the way of at least saying that I said I'd do this, I would like to do this, but the changes came, so I can't do it. Things have changed, I can't. at least that much should be there. But if it's just left and nothing, that's not ideal. That's not your Brahminical culture. But it actually, you know, should be that there's some endeavor to do it. You know, but if the facilities aren't there, then between everybody it should be understood and then moved on. Just as they should have the right attitude, then the others have their particular attitude, and then it happens. You know, it works.
Like that. Then if we take it, you know, a step further, if the same happens with the spiritual master, between disciple and spiritual master, is it promise, and then it just doesn't happen?
Means that from the disciple side?
Yeah.
Then it's not a strong position. So the disciple should be trying to accomplish. Means you have a difference between a spiritual commitment and some material commitment. So the spiritual commitment, that can always be maintained despite whatever happens. Because the spiritual is actually not affected by the material. But material, then you actually have to look at the situations and everything like that, and then come to a understanding. But it should be then an understanding between the two of them. Like, you know, if the disciple says, I'm going to do this particular thing, and then if it changes, then it's either a matter of it still can be gained, but through different avenues, or yes, that's close, so that's not going to work. But the point is there should be still some endeavor on that social platform. Right? It shouldn't just be left and just oh, but it's obvious. That's because this you know people then the interaction is what's important.
Right. So, yeah. Krishna's coming as a plenary expansion. So it's plenary because the motive isn't fully pure. So only plenary.
No, but plenary means full. The word plenary is just like the GBC when they have a plenary session means the full GBC, or there's a subcommittee. So, but it's Svamsa. Plenary portion means it's fully. It's Vishnu. It's Vishnu Tattva. It's not like a Shaktivesh or someone else. So it's fully Vishnu, but having expanded here, there's a good chance it'll be Svamsa, so there'll be only how much potency is necessary for that pastime. Right? That's the point. You want to, kill a fly, you don't get out a double-barrel shotgun. You know? Does that make sense?
Yes. Is this the reason why the curses and the blessings of the Brahmanas are potent? Because they always speak the truth before?
Yes. Means if they're practicing like that, they say it comes true. That's why they're very careful about it. You know, it's just like, let's say, in common usage, at least in modern society, you know, let's say someone's going to Calcutta and says, yeah, don't have any accidents, or be careful on the road, or... You know, stuff like you just don't. Brahmins don't say those kind of things. They don't. They don't infer anything can go wrong.
What they would say instead?
You know, have a safe journey or things like that. You know, so that's the whole thing. You know, so you know, so therefore, you wouldn't have the same banter. You know, on stage, yeah, you know, when you're going to go on, yeah, break a leg, or, you know, then that's the problem. You would break a leg, you know, so like that, you know, knock them dead, you know, people have heart attacks. So you don't say those kind of things. These are just common usages. So Brahmins only say stuff that is proper or auspicious or things like that. So one has to be careful in that. Sloka Anushan. Summary of verses. Verses 1 to 11, Aditi offer prayers to the Supreme Lord. 12 to 28, the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters Aditi's womb. Verses 1 to 11, Aditi offers prayers to the Supreme Lord. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, after Aditi was thus advised by her husband, Kasyapa Muni, she strictly followed his instructions without laziness, and in this way performed the Payovrata ritualistic ceremony. Srila Prabhupada comments, for advancement in anything, especially in spiritual life, one must strictly follow the bona fide instructions of the teacher. Aditi did this. She strictly followed the instructions of her husband and guru. As confirmed in the Vedic instructions, yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata guru. S.U. Svetasvataru Upanishad, okay. 6.23. One should have complete faith in the guru who helps the disciple make progress in spiritual life. As soon as the disciple thinks independently, not caring for the instructions of the spiritual master, he is a failure. Yasya prasadan nagati kutopi. Aditi very strictly followed the instructions of her husband and spiritual master, and thus she was successful. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued. With full, undiverted attention, Aditi thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in this way brought under full control her mind and senses, which resembled forceful horses. She concentrated her mind upon the Supreme Lord Vasudeva. Thus she performed the ritualistic ceremony known as Payavrata. My dear King, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, dressed in yellow garments and bearing a conch shell, disc, club, and lotus in his four hands, then appeared before Aditi. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead became visible to Aditi's eyes, Aditi was so overwhelmed by transcendental bliss that she at once stood up and then fell to the ground like a rod to offer the Lord her respectful obeisances. Aditi stood silently with folded hands, unable to offer prayers to the Lord. Because of transcendental bliss, tears filled her eyes, and the hairs on her body stood on end. Because she could see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, she felt ecstasy, and her body trembled. O Maharaj Prikit, the demigoddess Aditi then began offering her prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a faltering voice and with great love. She appeared as though drinking through her eyes the Supreme Lord, who is the husband of the Goddess of Fortune, the enjoyer of all sacrificial ceremonies, and the master and lord of the entire universe. The goddess Aditi said, O master and enjoyer of all sacrificial ceremonies, O infallible and most famous person, whose name, when chanted, spreads all good fortune, O original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Supreme Controller, shelter of all holy places, you are the shelter of all poor, suffering, living entities, and you have appeared to diminish their suffering. Please be kind to us and spread our good fortune. Srila Prabhupada comments. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of those who observe vows and austerities, and it is he who bestows benedictions upon them. He is worshipable for the devotee throughout the devotee's life, for he never breaks his promises. As he says in Bhagavad Gita, 9.31, Konteya pratijani hi name bhakta, bhakta pranashyati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. The Lord is addressed here as Achyuta, the infallible, because he takes care of his devotees. Anyone inimical to the devotees is certainly vanquished by the mercy of the Lord. The Lord is the source of the Ganges water, and therefore he is addressed here as Tirthapada, indicating that all holy places are at his lotus feet, or whatever he touches with his foot becomes a holy place. Bhagavad Gita, for example, begins with the words Dharmakshetre Kurukshetre, Bhagavad Gita 1.1. Because the Lord was present on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it became a Dharmakshetra, a place of pilgrimage. Therefore, the Pandavas, who were extremely religious, were assured of victory. Any place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead displays his pastimes, such as Vrindavan or Dwarka, becomes a holy place. The chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is pleasing to the ear, and it expands good fortune to the audience who hears it chanted. Owing to the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Aditi was fully assured that the troublesome condition created for her by the demons would now be ended. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur remarks, these names with great meaning spontaneously flowed from Aditi's mouth. Sri Aditi continued, my Lord, you are the all-pervading universal form, the fully independent creator, maintainer, and destroyer of this universe. Although you engage your energy in matter, you are always situated in your original form and never fall from that position, for your knowledge is infallible and always suitable to any situation. You are never bewildered by illusion. O my Lord, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. O unlimited one, if your lordship is satisfied, one can very easily obtain a lifetime as long as that of Lord Brahma, a body either in the upper, lower, or middle planetary systems, unlimited material opulence, religion, economic development, and satisfaction of the senses, full transcendental knowledge, and the eight yogic perfections. What to speak of such petty achievements as conquering one's rivals? Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikit, best of the Bharat dynasty, when the lotus-eyed Lord, the supersoul of all living entities, was thus worshipped by Aditi, he replied as follows. Verses 12 to 28, the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters Aditi's womb. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that in verse 12, the Lord describes Aditi's mixed bhakti. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Mother of the demigods, I have already understood your long-cherished desires for the welfare of your sons, who have been deprived of all opulences and driven from their residence by their enemies. O Devi, O Goddess, I can understand that you want to regain your sons and be together with them to worship me. After defeating the enemies in battle and retrieving your abode and opulences. Okay, footnote 9. The Lord says, you desire to be firmly situated with your sons in the kingdom, or you desire to worship me along with your sons, but not with complete dedication. Sardarta Darshani 8.7.13. Right, so here's the mixed aspect. If she's looking for the material situation for her sons and the relationship with her sons, though it's in connection to serving the Lord. So that's the mixed devotion. So, but it's successful because she's connected to the Lord. Therefore, the Lord has come, the Lord becomes his son, all these things. So it's not that the Lord doesn't reciprocate the mixed devotion. It's just not the topmost recommended position. Right? Yes.
So in this case, pure devotion just would have been whatever you want me to do, I do. Not.
Yeah, pure devotion would just be she sees the anxiety, she just surrenders to Krishna, and it's up to him. Like that. Because it's not, she doesn't have any specific desire, she just wants to be Krishna conscious. You know, naturally there's a feeling she would like to see proper things, but it's up to the Lord. It's not, but she has a specific desire. You know, she's said all the different things and says, all these things are so great and all that, let alone something as petty as, you know, defeating your rivals.
Yes.
You know, so she's also understanding how it's not a major point. But the point is it's greater than, for him it's very minor, but for everybody else in the universe it's bigger than what they can take care of.
Right.
So he's the only, shelter anyway. Yes.
An attachment is to the children, so the happiness is the Lord has come to relieve the distress.
No, it means there's devotion. The point is mixed devotion means it's actual devotion mixed with something else. Right? We generally look at it as something else and then you add the devotion. That'll be the lower stage. But as you go up, then it's more about the devotion, but there's still some mix. So it was actual transcendental ecstasy and seeing the Lord and the devotion is there, but she still is maintaining some attachment.
What will be different from pure devotion that is in sadhana stage, mixed devotion? How this will be different?
In sadhana.
How the person will behave, like in the sadhana stage, when he has such material needs?
How he'll behave. What do you mean by how he'll behave?
She has attachment to her children and she is having devotion also. So
right.
That is a mixed devotion.
Yes.
So I wanted to know that how she will behave as a like sadhana bhakti. Your Yudhishthira is in the sadhana state.
But she is practicing sadhana, no? The Pyavrata is a sadhana, huh? You want to see the wives of the demons lamenting for the death of their husbands, when those demons, the enemies of your son, are killed in the battle by the demigods, of whom Indra is the chief. You want your sons to regain their lost reputation and opulence, and live again on their heavenly planet as usual. O mother of the demigods, in my opinion, almost all the chiefs of the demons are now unconquerable, for they are being protected by Brahmanas, whom the Supreme Lord always favors. Thus, the use of power against them will not at all be a source of happiness. Right? So, again, you see is that this principle of that she's offered the prayers, and that, but it's also been quite subtle. So then the reciprocation is then making it obvious what the desire is. Right? Then having made that so it's clear that everybody's on the same page, then he's pointing out that this will be difficult because they have the favor of the Brahmins. And the Lord doesn't get involved if that happens. So he says that therefore, if we want to gain this, power won't work because they already have the blessings of the Brahmins. Right? And we see the demigods didn't get the blessings of the Brahmins. So Brihaspati had given a subtle hint that they had worshipped the Brahmins and God in their blessings, that's why they have such power. And so that power can't be opposed. So he threw it out that, therefore, what would be one solution? They should worship the Brahmins, get their blessings, and then with that superior position, then they could, then there's a chance there. But they didn't, so they didn't take that hint. They just, okay, so then what should we do since we can't overpower them? So he said, you just become invisible and disappear. Because you can't do anything about it on that platform. Right, so unless you're getting the blessings of Brahmins, it's not going to work. So, therefore, some other method has to be used because power won't work. Yes?
Are the Brahmins obliged to give blessings if they...
Obliged to give blessings. It means obliged.
If you get something.
It means the point is it's proper dealings, then that's reciprocated. Improper dealings, no. You know, people expect it, don't deal properly, then no. Right? In other words, Brahmins aren't a blessing machine. You know, as Prabhupada is pointing out, is that, you know, they're there and then all these Hindus who come and visit, oh, you know, like this, you know, my son, yeah, this is my son, he's, you know, doing his exams or, you know, medical school, please give your blessing, and, you know, like that, you know, so that kind of stuff is, that you're not obliged. Because what have they done? What service? They just come to get the blessings, they don't do any service. You know, or they do something little bit, you know, I bring little bits, you know, something like that, and then expect, you know, big results. You know. So it's not done with that faith or that devotion, that proper attitude and all that. It's just they wanting something. You know, here she did 12 days of the Payavrata, and then she asked, okay, that has a meaning. Does that make sense?
Quite interesting. The Lord is making the point it's going to be difficult because there's the blessings of the Brahmins, but then we see that later on in the pastime that when Bali Maharaj is actually put to test, he actually rejects his spiritual master because he's giving me advice that's actually contrary. So we see that there's many subtleties in this whole
aspect. But the point is at this point they're following properly. Right? Because they were worshipping Brahmins, respecting them for their position, and only expecting material benefit. So at this point, everything's proper. But that one, then, that's going to be spiritual. So that's a different category.
It's interesting that the demigods were given the hint that all they have to do is start worshipping the Brahmins, but they still decided to choose a different option.
Yes. No, that's... Because of their pride, because of their prowess, because they'll think that I'm so powerful that if at this point they have the blessing, the Brahmins are more powerful, there's nothing we can do. But they, you know, this point of being humble and just surrendering to the Brahmins, then, but we see this happens many times. You know, it's not just, you know, one time. It's a common thing.
So there's hope. We can turn it around.
Yes, there's hope. There's hope. Yeah.
Brahmins are more
Yes, no, Brahmins are more powerful than Kshatriyas. That's why Manu mentions that if Kshatriyas are giving Brahmins power problem, they don't need to turn to Kshatriyas or turn to this or that. They just use their own power and adjust.
How many Brahmins are actually worshipping demigods? Interesting part.
In India, a lot, actually. There's tons of them like that. You know, how many are actually Vaishnavas? That's less like that. Yeah, no, it's just that the Brahminical culture on its own has power, has potency, all these things, the yajnas, this, that. We'll say, oh, we don't care about these things, but the point is they are different. See, is let's say I'm doing a drama and I'm doing a yajna, so that they're both connected to Krishna, that is the specialness. So we can say spiritually they're both the same. But on the material platform, the performance of drama and the performance of yajna are no comparison. The yajna is so much more powerful. So there also has to be that respect for these two. So it's not just another item on the, you know, IE Inc., you know, ISKCON Entertainment Incorporated here. You know, so it's just a matter of, where, you know, we have our program, we have all the different things, and, you know, oh, how are we going to fill this spot here? You know, this person pulled out, you know, this singer pulled, okay, hey, maybe we can fill it with a young, you know, it's not like that. Is that so the whole idea is they do have power, and that's the specialness. So if we accept that, then we'll also behave properly. So even the Hindus who are properly practicing Brahminical culture, you don't mess with them. You know, you can say, oh, they're not devotees, they're not this. Yes, that's true, but they are Brahmins. And they are practicing. And there's a lot of them around.
Why are they worshipping
the demigods? Because they're not as intelligent as they should be. So that's what it said, is that Sanatana Goswami, that Lord Chaitanya's, I think his discussion with Sanatana Goswami, there's unlimited living entities. Then of them, very few are human, right? Have the human form. Of the human 400,000 species, of those, very few are civilized. Civilized means following Varnashram. Of those, then very few are going to be Brahmins. Right? So that means that they're, and of those, then you're going to have those that are properly, you know, understand, that are properly practicing. Then of those that are endeavoring for to get beyond, then they understand the Brahman, that they're actually understand liberation. Then of those, very few are actually liberated. And then of those, then you know, out of so many of those, very little are Vaishnavas. So actually, the Vaishnava understanding in the Brahminical culture will be the smallest. Like that. So it's the rarest. So this idea is that you want to expand it in that quality. That's the that's the meaning of Lord Chaitanya's potency of the mission. That means of the golden age. It means in that standard, you expand it. Not that you water it down and then everybody. Is that what I'm saying? Yeah. So that you have Brahmins that are interested in the, how you say, demigod worship, that's not the... actually the surprising thing, that there are Brahmins who are interested in God consciousness, you know, and proper and parampara Vaishnava lines. Now that's the rarity.
I've heard from different sources this formula that if you have 1,000 people, 900 are Shudras, and then, you know, 90 are Vaishyas, 9 are Kshatriyas, 1 will be a Brahmin.
Yes.
Is that bona fide? Is there like a source for that?
I'm not sure the source. I heard it from Achyutananda. He was always generally pretty good at sources.
Okay. So it's not in Manu or Chanakya or something?
No, it's not here. That's your general society. You just take your general society, that's the proportion. Within the Vaishnav society, or those who are following the culture and all that, then you're going to have, how you say, it's based off of 64. I've heard a few devotees mention that. I've never gotten the quotation, so I don't know what the numbers are. That's why I never mention it. But the point is it's very few are Brahminical by occupation. I mean, it's just like, how many teachers are there? You know, that's what they're committed to. They're willing to get paid less than a plumber to do a job higher than a plumber. You know, like that. They're supposed to be respected. They never are. So how many people are committed to that? Like that. There's not that many. In a sense. So that's why out of so many in society, that's very few. Srila yeah. Prabhupada comments. Do we read this? No. No. Okay. When a person is favored by Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, no one can defeat him. Even the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not interfere when one is protected by a Brahmana. It is said, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. The Lord's first inclination is to give all benedictions to the cows and Brahmanas. Therefore, a Brahmanas favors someone, the Lord does not interfere. Nor can anyone interfere with the happiness of such a person. And so they have facility, this and that. The happiness they get, you can't interfere in that. So you don't even bother. So you have to take them off of the, you know, how you say, political list. The Supreme Personality of Godhead continued, Yet because I have been satisfied by the activities of your vow, O Goddess Aditi, I must find some means to favor you. Right? Because he's saying, they've been favored by the Brahmins, so you can't just go in and fight with them and that. That's not going to work. But because she has pleased him, she has to find some other means to do that. Right? So that's the glory of the Supreme Lord, is he can accomplish so many things, you know, with one action. So that means it's very subtle to work. Generally, we do something, if we get one thing done, we're happy. You know. But if you can do many things with, you know, and then if we can do many things, that's another. But Krishna does many things with one action. So that means how subtle. He's taking all the different things and balancing them all and all that. Does that make sense? So that's the idea, is that his culture, it's based on that principle, how many things can be accomplished with one thing. That's why it's such a sophisticated, we're used to something that's just straightforward, you know, kind of like, how you say, the Norsemen, very simple. You have a battle axe, you know, if it's standing, you cut its head off. And then once you've cut everyone's head off, then you burn everything and you walk off with all the wealth and all the women, like that. Did I leave anything out? Pretty straightforward.
No? Fear, maybe.
But that's your own thing. That's not... Okay, I mean, that's personal. That's your sadhana. I'm talking about occupation. Okay? You know what I'm saying? So we're not used to actually a very developed thing where so many things can be done at once. And if it is, it's only on the political field. But so we're only considering... So most will consider kama. Then those who are more sophisticated, kama and artha. But actually, you're supposed to look at all of them. So on the material platform, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. But devotee, then five, with bhakti being the main. So that's why it's more subtle. That's why it's more difficult. So then Krishna here is going to work out a way how he's going to defeat them, you know, without a battle and without disturbing their being blessed by the Brahman. Right? Does that make sense? They've done something, they've gotten the Brahman's blessings. Right? So now if you adjust that, then that's going to be the key. Right? I must find some means, oh Goddess Aditi, I must find some means to favor you. For worship of me never goes in vain, but certainly gives the desired result according to what one deserves. Right? According to what one deserves, not what one desires. That's why Prabhupada said, first deserve, then desire. Because if you desire and don't deserve, then it's not going to work. You have prayed to me and properly worshipped me by performing the great Payavrata ceremony for the sake of protecting your sons. Because of Kasyapa Muni's austerities, I shall agree to become your son and thus protect your other sons. Always thinking of me as being situated within the body of your husband. Kasyapa, go worship your husband, who has been purified by his austerity. O lady, even if someone inquires, you should not disclose this fact to anyone. that which is very confidential is successful if kept secret. Right? Because there's something confidential, it only works if it's kept confidential. If it, you know, there's this whole modern thing, no, truth must, everybody must know it's everybody's right. That's why nothing gets done. Nobody gets anything because what should be confidential is not. So, like that. Sukadev Goswami said, after speaking in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead disappeared from that very spot. Aditi, having received the extremely valuable benediction that the Lord would appear as her son, considered herself very successful, and with great devotion she approached her husband, being situated in a meditative trance. Kashyapa Muni, whose vision is never mistaken, could see that a plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead had entered within him. O king, as the wind promotes friction between two pieces of wood and thus gives rise to fire, Kashyapa Muni, whose transcendental position was fully absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, transferred his potency into the womb of Aditi. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 23. A forest fire begins when two pieces of wood rub against one another, being agitated by the wind. Actually, however, fire belongs neither to the wood nor the wind. It is always different from both. Similarly, here is understood that the union of Kashyapa Muni and Aditi was not like the sexual intercourse of ordinary human beings. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to do with the human secretions of sexual intercourse. He is always completely aloof from such material combinations. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:29, Samoham sarva bhuteshu, I am equal towards all living entities. Nonetheless, to protect the devotees and kill the demons, who are a disturbing element, the Lord entered the womb of Aditi. Therefore, this is a transcendental pastime. Right? So he's not dependent upon the sexual interaction for there to be conception. He himself has decided that he's going to come as the son. So they may be using the medium of that, but that's not actually why she's getting pregnant with the Lord as her son. That's the point. As he says, the wind and the wood creates friction, so you get fire. But actually, the fire is separate from the wind and the wood. It's another element. Does that make sense? Yeah. One should not think that the Lord became the son of Aditi the way an ordinary child is born because of sexual intercourse between man and woman. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, when Lord Brahma understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was now within the womb of Aditi, he began to offer prayers to the Lord by reciting transcendental names. Lord Brahma said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all glories unto you, who are glorified by all and whose activities are all uncommon. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, O Lord of the Transcendentalists, controller of the three modes of nature. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the all-pervading Lord Vishnu, who have entered the cores of the hearts of all living entities. All the three worlds reside within your navel, yet you are above the three worlds. Formerly you appeared as the son of Prishni. To you, the supreme controller, who are understood only through Vedic knowledge, I offer my respectful obeisances. O my Lord, you are the beginning, the manifestation, and the ultimate dissolution of the three worlds, and you are celebrated in the Vedas as the reservoir of unlimited potencies, the supreme person. So the unlimited potencies are coming from the person. That's the point, is that it always goes back to the person. That's the thing, it's unlimited, and being a person, that's not a problem. Because it's the person who's unlimited. Because we think of unlimited in a personal state, meaning that there is no form. But the point is, the form is unlimited. That's the uniqueness of the Lord's position. So that's why only by His grace then one can understand.
Always, you see that whenever devotees praying, they pray first the position of Lord, how He's controlling the world. So what is the significance of that?
Then they're just talking about Him. What do you mean by what do you mean?
It means the various other glories of the Lord, how it deals with devotees, that they always discuss later. first day discuss his
position? Because that's his position. They respect his position. Who's offering the prayers? Yes, so all the demigods and all these different personalities, they are working for the Supreme Lord as the Supreme. Right? He's Paramatma, he's the creator, maintainer, destroyer, so that's who their relationship is with. Does that make sense? Oh, my Lord, as waves attract branches and leaves that have fallen into deep water, the supreme eternal time factor attract everything in this universe. My Lord, you are the original generator of all living entities. Stationary are moving, and you are also the generator of the Prajapatis. Oh, my Lord, as a boat is the only hope for a person drowning in the water, you are the only shelter for the demigods who are now bereft of their heavenly position. 24 to 28. Conclusion. When a person is favored by Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, no one can defeat him. And then the reason, because even the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not interfere when one is protected by a Brahmana. It is said, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, the Lord's first inclination is to give all benedictions to the cows and Brahmanas. So why does he not interfere? Because he's inclined towards them. Right? So therefore, if the Brahmins favor someone, the Lord does not interfere, nor can anyone interfere with the happiness of such a person. Yes?
It's similar to what the Lord told to Durvasa Muni. I cannot interfere with
him. Yes, true. He's offended a Vaishnav, you know, which is topmost Brahmin, so he can't get involved. Yeah, so, yeah, it goes both ways. If you're blessed, he doesn't get involved, and if you created trouble, he doesn't get involved. Okay. Chapter 18. Lord Vamanadeva, the dwarf incarnation. An actor changes dress to play different parts, but is always the same man. Similarly, the Lord assumes many thousands and millions of forms. Yeah, it's interesting. I saw this one clip. They were just going in. The whole point was that the actor has a nature, and they always apply that nature in whatever they're doing. So they took one actor, and even though they showed so many variety of roles in different movies, different situations, there were certain things that he did that were always the same. You know, but you don't catch it because you know it's just this. Yeah, you go with the role. But the funny part was, it's just yeah. So, Krishna, even though he takes all these forms, he's still himself, and he still acts in his own way. Mm-hmm. So it'll have the unique flavor of that particular role that he's playing. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter describes how Lord Vamanadeva appeared and how he went to the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Bali, who received him well and fulfilled his desire by offering him benedictions. Lord Vamanadeva appeared in this world from the womb of Aditi, completely equipped with conch shell, disc, club, and lotus. His bodily hue was blackish, right? So he becomes the son of his devotees, not in the ordinary way, but he's also born not in the ordinary way. Right? So you don't have to worry that there's a problem, that the baby has a club and all these things when he's born, right? That would be a real problem. Yeah. Okay, Lord Vamanadeva appeared, completely equipped with conch shell, disc, and lotus. His body hue was blackish, and he was dressed in yellow garments. Lord Vishnu appeared at an auspicious moment on Shravana Dvadasi, when the Abhijit star had arisen. At that time, in all the three worlds, including the higher planetary systems, outer space, and this earth, all the demigods, the cows, the brahmanas, and even the seasons were happy because of God's appearance. Therefore, this auspicious day is called Vijaya. When the Supreme Lord, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has the Satchitananda body, Satchitananda Brahma Samhita 5.1, appeared as the son of Kasyapa and Aditi, both of his parents were very astonished. After his appearance, the Lord assumed the form of a dwarf, Vamana. All the great sages expressed their jubilation, and with Kasyapa Muni before them, they performed the birthday ceremony of Lord Vamana Dev. At the time of Lord Vamana Dev's sacred thread ceremony, he was honored by the sun god Brihaspati, the goddess spreading over the planet Earth, presiding over the planet Earth, the deity of the heavenly planets, his mother, Lord Brahma, Kuvera, the seven rishis, and others. Lord Vamana Dev then visited the sacrificial arena on the northern side of the Narmada River, at the field known as Bhrigu Kacha, where brahmanas of the Bhrigu dynasty were performing yajñas. Wearing a belt made of munja grass, an upper garment of deerskin, and a sacred thread, and carrying in his hands a danda, an umbrella, and a water pot, kamandalu, Lord Vamanadeva appeared in the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. Because of his transcendentally effulgent presence, all the rishis were diminished in their prowess, and thus they all stood from their seats and offered prayers to Lord Vamanadeva. Even Lord Shiva accepts on his head the Ganges water generated from the toe of Lord Vamanadeva. Therefore, after washing the Lord's feet, Bali Maharaj immediately accepted the water from the lotus feet, from the Lord's feet on his head, and felt that he and his predecessors had certainly been glorified. Then Bali Maharaj inquired of Lord Vamanadeva's welfare, and requested the Lord to ask him for money, jewels, or anything he might desire. Shloka Anusharanam, verses 1-19, appearance of Lord Vamanadeva. 20-32, Lord Vamanadeva meets Bali Maharaj. Verses 1-19, the appearance of Lord Vamanadeva. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, after Lord Brahma had thus spoken, glorifying the Supreme Lord's activities and prowess, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never subject to death like an ordinary living being, appeared from the womb of Aditi. In his four hands were decorated with a conch shell, club, lotus, and disc. He was dressed in yellow garments, and his eyes appeared like the petals of a blooming lotus. The body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, blackish in complexion, was free from all inebrieties. His lotus face, decorated with earrings resembling sharks, appeared very beautiful, and on his bosom was the mark of Srivasa. He wore bangles on his wrists, armlets on his arms, a helmet on his head, a belt on his waist, a sacred thread across his chest, and ankle bells decorating his lotus feet. An uncommonly beautiful garland of flowers decorated his bosom, and because the flowers were extremely fragrant, a large group of bees, making their natural humming sounds, invaded them for honey. When the Lord appeared, wearing the Kastuba gem on his neck, his effulgence vanquished the darkness of the home of the Prajapati Kasyapa. At that time, there was happiness in all directions, in the reservoirs of water, like the rivers and oceans, and in the core of everyone's heart. The various seasons displayed their respective qualities, and all the living entities in the upper planetary system, in outer space and on the surface of the earth, were jubilant. The demigods, the cows, the Brahmins, and the hills and mountains were all filled with joy. On the day of Shravan Dwadasi, the 12th day of the bright fortnight in the month of Bhadra, when the moon came into the lunar mansion Shravana, at the auspicious moment of Abhijit, the Lord appeared in this universe. Considering the Lord's appearance very auspicious, all the stars and planets, from the sun to Saturn, were munificently charitable. Srila Prabhupada comments. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, an expert astrologer, explains the word nakshatra taradyaha. The word nakshatra means the stars. The word tara in this context refers to the planets, and adyaha means the first one specifically mentioned. Among the planets, the first is Surya, the sun, not the moon. Therefore, according to the Vedic version, the modern astronomer's proposition that the moon is nearest to the earth should not be accepted. The chronological order in which people all over the world refer to the days of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, corresponds to the Vedic order of the planets and thus circumstantiates the Vedic version. Apart from this, when the Lord appeared, the planets and stars became situated very auspiciously, according to astrological calculations, to celebrate the birth of the Lord. It's interesting. It's in a different, and it's also in this order, right? Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King, when the Lord appeared on Dwadasi, the 12th day of the moon, like so here, unless Prabhupada had mentioned it, we wouldn't know that he's an expert astrologer. Because for the Vaishnavas, their identity is servant to the Lord, not as these other things. Generally, if somebody's a good astrologer, that's his identity, and he's known as an astrologer. Right? But you see, with Prabhupada and the other acharyas, they're very expert, but you don't think of them that way. Like Bhaktisiddhanta says, Swaditakura, very expert. But we don't think of them that way. We just think of them as the acharya. So that's the point. Because the identity is of servant of Krishna, so they may have so many, ornaments on their personality and their abilities and everything like that. But those are all just there to serve the Lord. Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King, when the Lord appeared on Dwadasi, the 12th day of the moon, the sun was at the meridian, as very learned scholars know. This, okay, so that means, Abhijit means when the sun is straight up. That's the point. The Dwadasi is called Vijaya. Conch shells, kettle drums, panavas, and Anakas vibrated in concert. The sound of these and various other instruments was tumultuous. Being very pleased, the celestial dancing girls, Apsaras, danced in jubilation. The best of the Gandharvas sang songs, and the great sages, demigods, Manus, Pitas, and fire gods offered prayers to satisfy the Lord. The Siddhas, Vidyadharas, Kimpurushas, Kinaras, Charanas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Suparnas, the best of serpents, and the followers of the demigods all showered flowers on Aditi's residence, covering the entire house, while glorifying, praising the Lord and dancing. So sometimes we have, you know, it snows and then it's covered, so here's just flowers and it's covered. Right? So. Okay. Okay, so they covered the entire house while glorifying and praising the Lord and dancing. When Aditi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had appeared from her own womb, having accepted a transcendental body by his own spiritual potency, she was struck with wonder and was very happy. Upon seeing the child, Prajapati Kasyapa exclaimed, Jaya, Jaya, in great happiness and wonder. The Lord appeared in his original form, with ornaments and weapons in his hands. Although this ever-existing form is not visible in the material world, he nonetheless appeared in this form. Then, in the presence of his father and mother, he assumed the form of Vamana, a Brahmana dwarf, a Brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. Right? So, just like we see with Devaki and Vasudeva, he appeared first in four-armed Vishnu form, and then after that, then went to whatever was the form of his pastime. So he's done the same here. So that they know it's the Supreme Lord. Then he takes on that. Okay, so stop here. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakti ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.